You know, I got to say, a lot of great think tanks out there. There really are. I was looking at some tax calculators the other day at the Tax Foundation, and Tax Policy Center has a pretty cool one, mytaxburden.org, which will tell you what you will pay if the Bush tax cuts are allowed to expire, or if the president has his way and some are allowed to expire and some are not. But the best one I found, because it gets to the root of the problem, and taxes are a byproduct of spending. Debt is a byproduct of spending. You know, there are only three ways to finance government, and they're all deleterious. You can tax, you can borrow, you can inflate. So fundamentally, the problem is spending. Well, the Independent Institute, and I got to say something nice about the Independent Institute, not just because our guest is with us, of course, Emily Schaefer Scarbeck, Dr. Scarbeck, as she is known at the in the Institute, but this is probably the most, dare I say, independent of institutes. They take some positions that are close to mine on a number of issues, especially foreign policy, that I find especially refreshing in the world of echo chambers. But we won't get into that because we want to talk about their government cost calculator. Now, this crunches the numbers that will tell you how much you're paying for government spending. It's really kind of cool and quite simple to use. Joining us now is the research fellow at the Independent Institute, Dr. Emily Scarbeck. Emily, how'd you like that intro? Very nice, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You guys really do have some refreshing commentary out there. I mean, I obviously, in this line of work, we get lots of policy papers from lots of think tanks out there, and I really have been pleased with some of the stuff I get from you folks. Because on a number of issues, you're kind of, not going to say outside the box, but you're certainly not red versus blue. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. We pride ourselves on not being red versus blue and really taking principled positions on key public policy issues.
Yeah, especially foreign policy issues. Very refreshing. I tend to agree with most of what you're thinking. Where, by the way, for the listeners out there, where is the Independent Institute and where can they find your work?
The Independent Institute is located in Oakland, California, is where our headquarters are, but we have affiliated scholars throughout the country. You can find us on the web at independent.org, or you can access the calculator directly at mygovcost.org.
Yeah, so if somebody wants to play along tonight and type in the numbers, they can go to independentinstitute.org?
Sure. Or mygovcost.org.
Mygovcost.org goes right to the calculator. This really is crucial before we get to the numbers, because spending is the root of all quote-unquote evil here, right?
I do think that spending is the spending side is what's driving yeah. the budget deficits and the debt problem that we're seeing right now.
So and taxes. I mean, the spending is what drives taxation, too.
Yes.
So, you folks came up with this idea to do what?
So, essentially, what we do with the cost calculator is we calculate for the individual their tax liability over their lifetime, so what they will pay from now going forward. And then we show them what the value of those dollars would be worth if they could invest them in the stock market and earn just an average historical return. So, you know, not just nothing aggressive in the stock market, but just something, just what a normal rate of return would give them. And so what we are aiming to show here is what the value of those dollars could be worth if you could spend them on other things that you wanted other than any particular spending program that the government may be levying at this particular time.
Now, you've got to presume a rate of return. You mentioned the stock market and what a normal rate of return is, but can't you tell us what the actual interest is? So if I, you know, we're talking really about the future value of an annuity. If I'm going to make $40,000 a year for the next 20 years or 40, 50, 60, whatever that would break down to, and I keep making periodic payments into the IRS instead of into my bank account, if I make them into my bank account, that at the end of that period will be the future value of an annuity based on a certain percentage of interest I'm getting each year when I'm putting those payments in. What is the actual figure there?
Sure. So I believe the historical average that we use in the calculations is 6.3%.
And that's historically, that has been an average stock market return?
It's a It's an average. It's a very conservative historical average.
It actually is quite conservative because I've seen figures that say up until this recession and even the market's coming back now that the average annual return in the stock market is around 10%. So you're looking at a portfolio with stocks and bonds and some money markets in to come up at roughly 6%.
Yeah.
All right.
Like I said, no aggressive investment policies.
Yeah, precisely. So a lot of people might be rolling their eyes today because, you know, money markets and T-bills are at 1% or less, but that has not been the historical average. So if you're in a working lifetime, let's say your working span is 40 years from 20 to 60, that 6% is going to be a lot closer to your average return than today's rates.
Correct, yeah. And the idea behind this is not to, you know, we want to give a pretty close ballpark figure, but the idea is really to take the trillion-dollar spending numbers that are, you know, tossed around in Washington and make them more personal for your average, you know, citizen.
Well, that's right, and you've certainly done it because now somebody sees the cost of government health care, the cost of the bailouts, the TARP programs, the cost of educational subsidies, the cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the cost of government. If you go to mygovcost.org, and I love the way you do this because after you enter a few things in, we'll get to that in a second, after you enter a few things in, you can then isolate. Okay, let's say I'm a screaming liberal and all I want to pay for is income transfer programs. What's going to be my cost of government over the next, you know, however long I work? Or I'm a conservative, a typical conservative, and all I want to pay for is defense. What is my cost to fund that? You can break these things down by category, right?
Yeah. And that was, you know, extremely important to us is that we wanted to provide a tool that would be useful for both sides in the debate because I think bringing the numbers down to a manageable level is important for both sides. And so after users come in and, you know, have a chance to play around with our figures and take a look at what these government programs are actually costing them, they can then share their results on the social media sites such as Facebook or Twitter, or just email them to their friends and family and really try to get, you know, get the word out and personalize what Washington is actually costing.
That's a great way to look at it, too, and it's a great way to get things done. We're going to take a break here in a moment or two, but when we come back, I do want to go through a routine entry. Not going to use my figures, but maybe Brendan's. Well, maybe not. But we'll figure it out. We'll do some averages the way you guys have done this. And it's very simple. You've got, what, three steps? That's it?
Yeah.
What is the goal here, Emily?
Well, the goal, like I said, is first of all, to provide people with information that I don't believe that they had before this calculator. To really find out what the opportunity cost of taxation is. And then second of all, to provide a forum for discussing how it is that we start scaling back government. And I think we can talk about scaling back government on social issues. We can talk about scaling back government on fiscal issues primarily. And,
Well, you want to, I mean, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of the Independent Institute, really, is independent. You have no sacred cows. It seems to me you're nonpartisan, obviously, but the goal is smaller government across the board. You don't make a massive exception for, say, $700 billion in Pentagon spending.
No, not at all. I believe that defense spending is one of the biggest areas where we can see strong reductions in federal spending programs.
What do you say to traditional conservatives who declare that, oh, no, we're in the midst of a war on terror, Emily? You don't understand this. We've got to fight, and defense is only 20% of the budget anyway.
Well, if you look at the history, we have a pretty nasty history of being unsuccessful in trying to build institutions in foreign countries.
You mean nation-building doesn't work?
I would argue that we have a really poor historical record of trying to build institutions in foreign countries, especially where, we've gone in with military interventions. And I think so in terms of the future programs for places like Iraq and Afghanistan are threatening more than helping.
It is really difficult. I tend to agree with you, and it's really, really difficult, especially in the echo chamber of modern talk radio. And I'm as conservative as they come. I mean, in the true sense of conservatism, that is an Eisenhower view of foreign policy, a Jeffersonian view, even a Reagan-esque view. Reagan refused to intervene in a number of places that some more hawkish elements wanted him to. The fact is, though, we have so broken down into red versus blue. We've so broken down in the echo chambers of talk radio that it's really kind of interesting. If you take a look at Air America versus traditional talk radio with the usual national voices on, there is no room in the middle. There's just either you're for this or you're for this. And they've created this monster, if you will, that does not allow an independent voice to say, yeah, I think we ought to cut taxes. We ought to cut regulation. We ought to cut spending. And you know what? We ought to include the Pentagon in on that. Nothing sacred. We ought to include public pensions in on that. Nothing sacred. We ought to take a look at the failed war on drugs. Nothing sacred. All of a sudden, my traditional conservative brethren say, hey, hold on, Jason. What are you doing there?
Well, Jason, I think you raise a really important issue, and I think from my perspective, the one route we have is to look to advocate for policy that takes a long-term perspective and takes a rules-based perspective rather than a discretionary perspective.
Yeah,
and so if we look towards policies that favor rules over time rather than discretion, I think that we can start to talk to both sides.
Yeah, it's really, I can tell you what it's like in the media. I can tell you what it's like in talk radio. It is difficult. Yeah. Ron Paul can tell you what it's like. It's difficult to get that voice out. You're considered a heretic. And in fact, if you take a look, I don't care whether it's prohibition or nation building, Wilsonian interventionism, you're quite right. History's pretty clear on it, but there are so many special interests that have built up around these spending programs. And we know what the liberal special interests are. They'll spend on anything, especially income transfer programs. But the quote-unquote red team, the conservatives, have now built up their own special interests around the programs we just mentioned.
Yeah, and the special interest politics, you know, wax and wane. You know, depending on who has control of what houses, you'll see various different, you know, interest groups being stronger at some points than at others. And I think that, again, you know, the only real answer, the only real way to kind of move forward and have progress is to hope for a change in rules rather than discretionary pork barrel politics.
Well, you're absolutely right. It's so refreshing to hear that. And between you and Cato and a few others, that voice really isn't out there much. But anyway, let's come back and talk to Emily, Dr. Scarbeck, as she is known, about this MyGovernmentCost.org calculator. It's fascinating, and we'll go through an actual example when we come back with our guests. So don't go away, gang. This should be fun. Get by your computer. We'll guide you through it right after this. We are back with research fellow Dr. Emily Schaefer Scarbeck of the Independent Institute. She's the director of the Center for Entrepreneurial Innovation, and we're talking about their handy little calculator. It really is cool. It's called MyGovCost.org, MyGovCost.org, and it features the government cost calculator that will let you know in so many problematic numbers how much government spending throughout your lifetime and your earnings lifetime will cost you. Emily, you ready to go through a couple of examples here?
Sure.
So let's say somebody goes to mygovcost.org and they will see what? Let's see. First thing comes up, what is Washington spending costing you? Big question. Then it says, can you tell us your age, right?
Yeah. It just has a button to go ahead and get started. And you start by putting in, you know, your general education level. So, you know, if you have a bachelor's degree, you'd put that in. If you have just had a little bit of college, you'd put in an associate degree. They're just general categories so that we can be a little more specific about your tax burden.
All right, well, let's go. Let's start. I mean, let's just go through an example here. So you get to the page, mygovcost.org, and the first thing you see on the top headline, what is Washington spending costing you? Get started. So let's get started here. We'll go through one. We're So you double click that. And what is your education level? You're right, that comes first. So let's, you've got high school graduate, associate degree, bachelor's degree. Let's put down bachelor's degree for that.
Okay. Next, we'd put in the age.
Let's say somebody's 25.
25 sounds good.
25, all right. Next, click next, get results. Last, enter your current salary. Now, how do you do this knowing your salary is going to rise over time?
Well, our model takes account of that factor, that if you start off younger and you have a younger, you have a lower salary, but you'll probably increase your salary over time. Mm-hmm. We modestly account for that, but only to the best ability using Bureau of Labor Statistics data. And
you err on the conservative side here again. So if I put in, let's say, BA and I'm 25, I'm earning $30,000 a year. In all likelihood, you're going to get to 80, 90 before you retire, but you may only figure you'll earn 40 or 50 by the time you retire.
Yeah, I think that figure would probably go up to anywhere between 48,000 to 62,000.
All right, well, let's put in 35,000.
Okay.
And you hit the results. And your future taxes, if you're a BA, you're earning $35,000 over the next, few decades of working, future taxes will cost you $473,000. Privately invested at that 6%, you could have earned over $3 million had the government let you keep your taxes.
Yes, that's correct.
That's kind of astounding, isn't it?
It's very astounding because when we think about how much our taxes cost us on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, and then we think about, what types of goods and services we purchase with a little over $3 million, especially when it comes to education and healthcare, saving for retirement in the future, we really see that, even our modest tax dollars could go very, very far if we were allowed to save them and use them as we see fit.
It is the magic of compounding. So in this particular hypothetical, somebody makes $35,000 a year to start off with in their mid-20s. It's, in the final analysis, going to cost them $3 million. It's a great tool. Emily, thank you so much. It's mygovcost.org.